On this portion of the morning show, we are pleased to talk about one of our favorite August subjects, the annual Badger Steam and Gas Engine Show. And joining me by phone line today is Pete Holzman. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
Good to have you along. It's the 60th annual. It's a pretty special year, isn't it?
Every year is special. Yeah, 60 is a lot of years if you stop and think about it.
What can you tell us about the that show's humble beginnings back in the day?
Well, it started out I think about 25 people in the Baraboo area primarily had some old equipment, and they decided to put on a demonstration of it at the fairgrounds in Baraboo. And the first year, I think they had 4 or 5 steam engines and 25 tractors and probably 100 visitors that walked through, you know, and looked at it. They didn't charge any admission. They were just a bunch of guys having fun. And it grew from that. Each year it got bigger and bigger, and 98, I think it is, we outgrew the fairgrounds and went to our own grounds, and then we really exploded, got a lot bigger then.
You're able to get some of your own space then, and how important was that for the show to grow?
Well, the fairgrounds, we were limited. There was room, but no parking. Everybody had to park on the street, and we couldn't build any more buildings. We had a couple small buildings there, Well, I think now, I'm just going to look here at our brochure. We're at 292 acres now, so 50 acres of free parking. So we've gained quite a bit.
So who actually bought the land?
4 of the club members saw this particular parcel of land for sale and said, boy, we should own that and move the club out there. And it took probably 3-4 years before the club actually made the move to go out there, because it's quite an adventure, really, when you get a lot of money tied up in land and you're dependent on admission prices to pay for the taxes and pay for the land. So they've got it started, and a lot of the club members pitched in and did a lot of the work. So the buildings weren't really expensive. They were pretty much put up by club members. And the enthusiasm was there, and that's what it took, was a lot of enthusiasm.
So you go way back with some of the early machines. Is there still a lot of interest in steam engines?
Yeah. Yes, there is. And it's fortunate to see that we've got quite a few steam engines that are owned by people that are a lot younger than I am. They're in their 30s and 40s. And we have 3 steam engines that are run by ladies in bib overalls that run take care, and they're the actual engineer of the engine. And so, yeah, we've got good amount of people working on the steam end of things.
That's incredible. And then you get into the tractors, and they're pretty much all vintages, aren't they?
Yeah, all vintages. This year we're featuring, one of our features is that we're featuring 100 years of International Harvester. So in 1923, International came out with the first, it was probably a 14-horse row crop tractor with a cultivator. And before that, they built tractors, but they were steel-wheeled and big, clumsy affairs. And this was actually a tractor that was row crop and easy enough to handle, that took the place of a team of horses and started the International Harvester name.
Is there a chance you might have one of those first International Harvesters on the grounds this weekend?
Oh, yeah. I'd be surprised if there's not half a dozen of them. Take your pick.
I think a lot of times, Pete, it's the tractor that we grew up with or, you know, first drove or the neighbor had that really kind of attracts us, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what is the part of it that is so, you know, it's very popular, the John Deere tractors with their hand clutch and relatively easy steering. And row crop, you know, get around with, and pretty small kid can push the clutch in and pull it out with their hand. So a lot of kids started out on it before they were teenagers, doing field work with dad was around to make sure things were going well.
No, it wasn't always a tractor like, okay, this is the best tractor I can buy. A lot of times it revolved around who was the best implement dealer or the closest to the farm, wasn't it?
That is absolutely true. There's an interesting thing I can say about that. If you, International Harvester and John Deere and Ford had dealerships. They started with a dealership with a new tractor on the lot. You bought it, and basically it came home with you or was brought to you. But Shepherd Diesel is one of the companies that we are... Actually, it's one of our features this year. And they were a company that built the tractor. When you paid for it, they would build you a tractor. They never did have a large dealer network, and consequently, they did not survive.
Aren't Shepherd Diesels quite rare, Pete?
Yeah, they are. I was curious enough to look them up. I think they were actually manufactured for 5 years, something like that. And the total number of tractors built was like 1,203 or 1,220 in those 5 years. So they did not have a dealer network. You had the local machinery dealer to do the repairs, but there was not a Shepherd Diesel dealer. So pretty tough to sell that way.
So you actually have a Shepherd Diesel Club that will be attending at Baraboo. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a Shepherd Diesel Club. I got a couple, three names. One of them gentlemen lives in Wisconsin here, and one is in Iowa, and one is in Indiana. It's going to be interesting to see how many Shepherd Diesels we can get together when they only made 1,200 of them to begin with.
It's amazing that they're still running. Obviously, they needed a little tender, loving care along the way, didn't they?
You would think. They're probably pretty durable. However, from 1950s, I think the last ones were built in 1954 or 55. So that the years do add up.
They do. 60th Annual Badger Steam and Gas Engine Show is what we're talking about this morning with Pete Holzman. And Pete, also the Graham Bradley and Sears tractors will be featured. What can you tell us about those?
Well, Graham Bradley was a tractor that was built. Now, this is the way I understand it. Don't bet the farm on it. But the Dodge trucks were built by Graham Brothers. And they sold off their truck business and decided to start building tractors. And so they started building the Graham tractor, I think right after World War II. And they sold them through Sears for a while, and then I guess they went on their own more so. Sears didn't pan out real well, or maybe they did, I don't know. But they wound up with their own dealerships for a while and then faded away into the distance like a lot of tractors.
Isn't it interesting, though? It's a real history lesson in American agriculture when we see these machines, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. You stop and look at where we've been about steam power. Say steam power became real popular in 1900 and 1910. Then they had the belt pulley, and they had the belt, and they had power then to operate bigger thrashing machines and bigger silo fillers and bigger equipment. And once the steam power got really going with the log sawing and all the rest of it, then everything kind of just got a lot bigger because they could do more work in a day than they did before.
I've learned over the years, sometimes, Pete, the implements that went on the tractors, whether it be a corn planter or a cultivator or whatever, sometimes those are more rare than the tractors, aren't they?
Yeah, that was, the tractor was built, a lot of tractors were built primarily for cultivation. The cultivator was the big thing because cultivating with the horses, you just didn't get as much done. The tractor, if it was really hot, that didn't bother the tractor, but horses, you had to stop and rest them, and it just made for, and with wheat and other crops too, a man could just produce a lot more in a day's labor with steam or gas engine power.
As we get a little bit older, some of the tractors we grew up with, do they become less popular? I mean, is it kind of more, are we looking at more popular tractors now, more interest in the 70s and 80s and 90s tractors, or how do you look at it?
I don't know. Popular tractors, it seems anyway, to my knowledge, are the 2-plow to 3-4-plow tractors that are still readily available. You know, if you want a tractor that's built in 1954, 55, and you fix it up and make it look like it did the day it came off of the showroom, that's a popular tractor. If you're going to go with the really, really old stuff, they're popular, but they're not nearly as attainable.
And not as practical either. I mean, you can still do a little small work around the farm with some of those ones you mentioned, right?
Oh, yeah. I talked with one of the guys last year. They had a Minneapolis tractor, a 2-plow tractor. I don't know, maybe 30 horse. And they also farm big time with lots of cattle and lots of machinery. He said just for fun, they took it out to the field and hooked onto one of the modern gigantic chopper boxes and did manage to get it pulled into the yard, but he said going downhill was quite a thrill. That chopper box weighed a whole lot more than the tractor, so it was kind of an interesting ride after he got going.
I'll bet. Are there demonstrations this year at Badger Steam and Gas Engine Show, Pete?
Yes, sir. We have the steam tractors are going to be running the sawmill and threshing machine, and hopefully we'll have our steam well driller there. And the other demonstrations, they've got clover hauling, and they're bigger, more popular. Well, I shouldn't say more popular, but newer is our gravel area, our sandbox, we call it. Got a gravel crusher up there from, I don't know when, 1900, 1910. It's powered by a belt, and they hook a steam engine onto it, and we actually crush gravel, which is something that is pretty rare, a machine that's that old still in operation. And when we are occasionally, now this year, the gentleman that owns the machine also owns a Caterpillar 60, which is a very early Caterpillar. I think it was the first series of Caterpillars from 1925 or 1926, and he hooks that up to the crusher, and so you can watch how things were done back then, which is pretty interesting, really.
It is.
A lot of noise, dust, smoke. Everything you really look for.
Yeah, isn't that something? You and I were talking before we went on the air that, you know, you do have some young volunteers. Those youngsters like that smoke and that sound, too, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Last year they had that gravel crusher running, and two of their lady engineers were running the steam engine on it, and they were younger guys come by, and they were just standing there, and I says, pretty neat, huh? And he says, I can't believe you could build anything with a system like that. They work for a road construction company.
Sure.
So yeah, they were really quite surprised to see how it was done back in 1925.
It's good to learn, that's for sure. Going on this weekend, and you invite one and all. It's a big family thing because, well, you can also, if you're not interested in any of the machines, you can go shopping. You got a flea market going on as well, Pete.
Oh, it's a gigantic flea market, yeah. That, I don't know, 300-400 vendors. I stay out of there. I don't know anything much about that. But we also have a miniature farm building where the kids can see a man built a complete miniature, actually built two or three miniature farms. And we have the women's events building, we call it. Actually, it's a homemaker's building. And they're featuring the Little House on the Prairie books and stories and memorabilia and miniatures. I asked what they're going to have, and she says, miniatures. Whatever miniatures are, they're going to have them there.
Hmm.
And they're also going to have Anna Green Gables books and memorabilia from those back when they were popular, I guess in the 40s, 30s, something that a lot of people will relate to, I guess. So one thing I got to tell you is, the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Show is never a rerun.
Mm-hmm.
It's always different.
Yeah.
And these ladies that do the feature in the women's building make sure that every year they've got something new and something different. So it's always good to see what they got going on.
Well, you have old cars there, Pete.
Yes. Yeah, we have old cars come in. That's always kind of amusing. Because old cars seem to gather dust really quick.
I bet.
The black old Model A's and all the rest of them, any color, they all get dusted really fast. But it's fun. It's the whole idea is to get those cars out and show them. Let people realize that things weren't quite the way they are today because of all the way it's put together.
So what is your favorite thing about Badger Steam and Gas Engine Show?
Talking with people about the exhibits and explaining things as I know it. And talking to vendors and exhibitors that are there and get the story of their equipment, what they brought and how it was and what it took to get it going. More of a social thing for me,
mm-hmm.
and I think it is for a lot of the people.
Do you have a favorite model, though, a favorite piece of equipment?
I don't think so.
You like them all.
I like them all. And if they're noisy and smoky, they're even better.
All right. That could be the tagline for next year's show, I guess.
Yeah, never a rerun. More smoke, more noise.
More noise, yeah. I'm guessing people come from all over. Have you ever logged how many states away people come to Baraboo to see the show?
Yeah, we have people come from Sweden and England, and had a group there from Australia a couple of years ago, and a lot of people from Illinois and Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, surrounding area. It's a social thing, but we've also got if you're an exhibitor, we have a campground that you can camp at. Now, it's a primitive campground, but we do have showers quite a ways away from your camper, but you can get there. And you can camp for a very reasonable price for 5 days. I think it's $40 for exhibitors. So we get people that come a quite a ways and enjoy the campground and enjoy everything about the show. They bring a tractor or whatever, and it works really well.
Well, I can guarantee that folks may see something this weekend that they may never see again, and one of those might be the number of Shepherd diesels all together at once, Pete.
Yeah, I have no idea how that's going to go. We have a tent up for them. and hopefully they fill the tent up and the ground around it and tell us all about Shepherd Diesel, because I don't know much about them at all.
Well, it'll be great to learn. And then Graham Bradley and Sears and International Harvester, the featured tractors, and they all have their own clubs too, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they have their own club, their own tent. The feature building will be International Harvester. So there'll be a lot of that, I'm sure. Well, they were made in Milwaukee. That's where they started. They had a large factory down there. And the one interesting thing that I learned, you know, there used to be an iron mine up here at LaRue, Wisconsin, which is just a little ways from North Freedom and Rock Springs. And the iron that they produced, the ore, was taken down to Milwaukee primarily to International Harvester. They used the iron ore from LaRue. That was their primary marketplace or purchaser of their iron.
Hmm.
Kind of different.
So that means some of the iron is coming home now, finally, right?
If it's old enough, I think the mine at LaRue closed about 1930, so you better get back there a ways if you want LaRue iron.
Oh, it's going to be a fun time, Pete. Always a pleasure to have you on the air. Anything else that you'd like to add?
Yes, I would. I'd like to add that we have a new building with full of antique engines that a gentleman from Minnesota has brought down, and I don't know how many engines are in there. I'm guessing well over 30. I've seen a few of them, and some of them are, the flywheels are higher than my head, but none of them are newer. All of them are 100 years old, so, and they're running, and they're museum quality. I mean, this thing is really, really worth seeing. So that's one of the things that's new this year. So never a rerun, always something better, something different.
It's hard to imagine something being manufactured today that's still going to be around and running in 100 years, isn't it?
My cordless drill.
Maybe.
You can't even buy a battery for it today.
Isn't that something? All right, Pete. Well, good to talk to you, and nothing but success this special weekend, the 60th annual Badger Steam and Gas Engine Show. You take care.
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Andrew.